Thanks for the kind introduction. Good morning, everyone. I'm Yu Min from Tsinghua University. This is a joint work with my advisor Yu Yu Lu and Ji Wu Shu. In this talk, I will present our work about how to improve the scalability of RDMA with reliable connections. RDMA has been used in high-performance computing for a long time, and now it becomes a very hot topic in data centers. It differs from traditional Ethernet in the following aspects. First, it pushes the network stack to the device level, so user space applications can directly interact with the hardware, so it can provide extremely low latency and high throughput. Recently, Mellanox has also released ConnectX-6, which is capable of delivering bandwidth of 200 gigabytes per second and sub-microsecond latency. Second, also the most important is it provides one-sided verbs such as RDMA, read, write, and atomic verbs. They can directly access remote memories without the involvement of remote processors. This provides us the opportunity to offload and rebalance nodes between the servers. However, in the past few years, there are two completely opposite directions when using RDMA. That is, whether to use reliable connection or just use unreliable datagram. So let's take a closer look at what is reliable connection and unreliable datagram. Actually, both of them are the connection types you can choose when transferring data with RDMA, which is something like TCP and UDP in socket programming. RC and UD are efficient, are different in many aspects in terms of both advantages and disadvantages. First, if you use RC, you need to create one queue pair for each target. We can call it as a one-to-one communication paradigm. If you use UD instead, you only need to create one queue pair, and that is enough to communicate with all the targets. Second, RC supports both one-sided and two-sided verbs, such as send, receive, read, write, and atomic verbs, while UD only supports send and receive. Besides, just their names imply RC provides reliable data transferring, while UD doesn't have such guarantee. So it's possible to have the risk of packet loss, reorder, etc. UD also has very limited MTU size. That is, you can only transfer 4 kilobytes of data in a single packet. The final difference, which is also the major topic of this talk, is that RC is hard to scale, while UD can provide good scalability. To show the poor scalability of reliable connection, we'll also do extra experiment to help you understand it. In the experiment, each node is equipped with a single port ConnectX-3 NIC, and we use one server node to post verbs to an increasing number of clients, and this is so-called outbound throughput. We can observe that the throughput of RC write drops dramatically from 28 million operations per second to only 2 million operations per second, where UD send is less affected. So why is the reliable connection so hard to scale? Let's first look at the message flow of an RDMA write between the two servers. When the client posts the RDMA write verb, it directly sends the request to the local NIC with memory mapped I/O. And when the local NIC receives this verb, it actively fetches the to-be-sent data with DMA read, and then sends the data to the network. When the NIC at the server side receives the data, it can directly write them to the memory with DMA write. Finally, the server processor can scan the memory space and discover the new messages. To improve the performance, Intel CPUs support data direct I/O. That is, the devices can directly write their data to the last level cache, such as in step 4. So we can find that there are multiple cache spaces involved in the data transferring, such as the CPU's last level cache and the NIC cache. Many past works observe that the contention in the NIC cache makes the RC verbs hard to scale. A NIC cache mainly caches three types of information, such as the mapping table between the virtual and physical addresses of the register memory, and the metadata of the created queue pairs, and the work queue element. If you create more queue pairs, there are more metadata generated, and the contention in the NIC cache will become more serious. Except for the NIC cache, we find that the CPU cache also affect the performance. To implement a RPC primitive with RC write verbs, client will directly write a request to the server with RDME write. So the server side need to allocate separate memory regions for different clients. So as to avoid their messages interleaves. However, when the number of clients grows, the message pool will grow to too large and cannot be fully cached in the last level cache. So we can conclude that if you use reliable connection, the size of the cached data is proportional to the number of clients, and the limited cache space restricts the scalability of RDME. So in this work, our goal is how to make RDME with reliable connection scalable. We mainly focus on implementing a RPC primitive because RPC is a good abstraction and is widely used in existing distributed systems. We choose the RC write verb because it has relatively higher throughput. In this work, we mainly targeted one-to-many data transferring paradigm. Similarly, this paradigm is also widely adopted. For example, the communication between the clients and the key-value server to get or put key-value pairs, or metadata accessing distributed file system, or accessing to the sequencer or timestamp server in the distributed transactional system. We choose to use system-level solution to improve the scalability, so we don't need extra modifications to the hardware. Finally, we deploy our RPC primitive into a distributed file system named Octopus and a distributed transactional system to verify its practicability. Next, I will detail our work in five parts, and let's start with our first optimization. This is an example of a naive approach to implement a RPC primitive with RC write. In the figure, the green circles are the clients, and the red one is the server. But these clients arbitrarily and concurrently send RPC requests to the server. So when the number of clients increases, the threshing in the NIC cache will become more serious, and this will cause frequent swapping between the device and the main memory, and finally impact the overall performance. Our approach is quite simple. We manage the clients into groups and only serve one group of clients at a time slice. For example, only the green circled clients has access to the RPC server during the current time slice. And at the end of the time slice, the RPC server switches to another group and continue to serve them. In this way, we can achieve better cache locality in the NIC cache, since the recently accessed metadata is more likely to be used again with grouping. The second optimization is trying to reduce the contention in the CPU cache. Of course, the best way to achieve this is reducing the memory footprint in the message pool. We observe that when we manage the clients into groups, only part of the message pool is used in each time slice, while other memory regions for non-active clients is never touched. So we don't need to assign a message buffer for each client. Instead, we can virtualize a single physical message pool to be shared among multiple groups. While the size of this physical message pool only need to be large enough to serve a single group of clients. This is achievable because the message pool is stateless. That means once an RPC request is finished, the data in the message pool becomes invalid too. So we don't need extra efforts to load or receive the data when switching between the groups. While these ideas are quite intuitive, we still face the challenges. First, a static grouping approach is not always optimal in real-world applications because different clients have different requirements for the tail latency and different frequencies of the posted RPCs, different payload size, and different execution times for each call. To address this, we introduce a priority-based scheduler at the RPC server. It will monitor the performance of each client and dynamically adjust the group size and finally determine which clients to form the next group. Second, the context switch between the groups should be lightweight and efficient. We need to avoid the server threads from being idle when the current group has been finished, while the request from the next group are still flying. So we introduce a warm-up message pool to interleave the execution between the groups. With this, the clients from the next group can put their new request in the warm-up pool and before being served. If you want to see more details about this, please check our paper. And by putting all the optimizations and the techniques together, we designed and implemented scale RPC. The top half of the slice is the RPC server. Inside it, there is a processing message pool to serve the current group and a warm-up pool to warm up the request of the next group. There are also a bunch of threads to process the incoming request and a scheduler to schedule the group of clients. When a client connects to the RPC server, it's not allowed to directly put their request to the message pool. Instead, it initializes the message locally and only writes the metadata of this message to the meta zone in the RPC server, which includes the address and size of this message. Also, there are also other non-active clients trying to warm up their request. The scheduler will repeatedly check the meta zone and choose some of the clients to form the next group. And it will also actively fetch the messages to the warm-up pool with RDMA read. At the end of this time slice, the working thread switch to processing the request from the warm-up pool. So the old warm-up pool now becomes the processing pool, and the old processing pool now becomes the warm-up pool. Also, the non-active clients need to warm up their request again before being served. We can observe that with just two message pools, that is the warm-up pool and the processing pool, SIGRPC can serve unlimited number of clients. And with the scheduler, we can determine which clients can be served in the next group, next time slice. Our evaluation platform is a 12-node cluster. Each node has 24 physical cores and 128 gigabytes of memory. All the nodes are equipped with a Connect S3 network adapter and are connected with Mellanox RDMA switch. We compare scale RPC with the following RPC primitives. Among them, raw-write RPC works as a baseline. It is implemented by disabling all the optimizations in SCAR RPC. Herd is a scalable RPC which uses UC-write to post the request message and UDSend to post the response message. FAST is also a scalable RPC and it uses UDSend to post both request and response message. We first evaluate scale RPC's scalability by collecting the throughput with varying number of clients and batch size. The default message size is set to 32 bytes. In the figure, the x-axis is the number of clients and the y-axis is the throughput. We can observe that a scale RPC achieves comparable scalability to FAST and significantly outperforms raw-write. The throughput of raw-write drops dramatically because of resource contention in the RC mode. Herd has much better scalability than raw-write, but it still has performance drop when the batch size is small. This is mainly because the message pool is too large and cannot reside in the CPU cache when the number of clients increases. We also collect the cumulative latency distribution of all the RPC primitives. This is the worst case for the scale RPC because we set all the clients with the same priority. From the figure, we can find that the scale RPC shows a bimodal distribution of latencies, while other RPCs are more smooth in the latency distribution. SCAR RPC can keep most of its requests with low latency, but it has much higher maximum latency because we group the clients. So if a client is more sensitive to the tail latency, it needs to inform the scheduler with higher priority to get a lower tail latency. We also deployed SCAR RPC in a distributed file system. A typical distributed file system consists of a single metadata server and multiple data servers. So we replaced the RPC subsystem in Octopus with scale RPC for metadata accessing. Octopus is an efficient distributed file system deployed on RDMA and non-volatile memory. We use MDTest to evaluate the metadata performance. From the figure, we can find that secure RPC outperforms roll-write in all evaluated operations. For those update operations, such as make node and remove node, secure RPC only slightly outperforms roll-write by around 5%. This is because make node and remove node, this kind of operations require more complicated processing in this file system. So they will incur higher software overhead instead of in the file system instead of the network. For other lightweight operations, such as the get attribute, read directory, SCI RPC can outperform rule write by 90%. In conclusion, we use a system level approach to improve the scalability of RDME on reliable connections. To achieve this, we introduce connection grouping and virtualized mapping to efficiently share the hardware resources. Thank you. I'm happy to take your questions.
So we have time for some questions.
Yeah. Hey, it wasn't clear to me how the groups are formed. Here. Yeah. is it based on sort of whether there's communication to be done in the connection, or is it sort of static based on a client number or something like that?
You mean the latency distribution of the...
No. When you form the groups...
Oh, okay.
How are the groups formed? Is it dynamically or is it statically?
Dynamically.
Based on whether the...
There are several factors that is considered. I haven't mentioned it here. Different clients may have the different requirement for the tail latency,
right?
And their frequency, when they post their RPCs, they have different frequencies, and their payload size is also different. And also the execution time for different handlers is also different. So both of these factors will be considered when grouping the next group.
So you evaluate all of these factors as you are creating the groups dynamically?
Yeah, we have evaluated this part in our paper, but not shown in the slides.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I guess the design is heavily customized for a large number of clients. By leveraging all these ideas like a batching and pooling. So I was wondering how bad does performance get when you have fewer clients, like when you have less than fewer than 60 clients? Is there a crossover point compared with these alternatives?
With fewer number of clients?
Yes.
The performance?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it will grow from throughput with zero to the and peak the performance. Of course, with fewer number of clients, there is no need to group them because the cache threshing in the NIC cache, also the CPU cache is not always that serious. So the grouping is useless.
But how does it compare to alternatives?
The tail latency?
Yeah, the fast, say.
Oh, in this speaker, we set the number of clients to 120. So we don't compare the latency distribution with fewer number of clients.
Sorry.
Okay. So I actually have a question related to the previous two questions. So when you do this dynamic grouping with a large number of clients, what is essentially a worst case workload for you? So if you have, I know, very bursty client behavior, what are bad workloads where your scheme isn't effective in doing the dynamic grouping?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, there are several factors considered to organize the groups. And if all the clients have the same priority and same frequencies when posting in RPCs, they will have a very ugly tail latency. Okay. Yeah, this is the worst the case for the workload.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, one last question.
What happens with the performance if your clients don't behave according to the grouping? If they're not supposed to send at a certain time, but they send anyway, how does it affect your system?
Sorry, can you repeat your questions?
So only the clients that are in the processing pool are allowed to send messages and being processed. What happens if the other clients that are not in the current processing pool send messages anyway?
Yeah, with our scheduler, if you are not in the current slice being served, you need to just idle and wait. Yeah, this is part of the side effect.
Okay.
Okay, so let's thank the speaker again.